Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
Well, thank you, Father, just for every family member of our campus, of our community, of this church, Grace Life Tigerberg. I speak your blessing over them. Thank you, Father, just for this year, that it's going to be a blessed year, Father. Your blessing has already been poured out over this year, but I thank you, Father, as we come to an agreement with what you've prepared for us, with your word, Father, it's going to be a blessing. We're going to align ourselves with what you've called us to, Father. We're going to choose to come in agreement with your word, with your purposes, with your calling over our lives. And by doing that, Father, we're going to experience the blessing that you've already poured out for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Father, for every church in the world that is represented. I thank you, Father, that there's a rising of your churches, Father, worldwide, because we are the answer to the world's problems. We, as Jesus inside of us, is the answer to the world's problems, Father. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problems. It's the hope that we so desperately desire, that the world so desperately is seeking for, is the hope of Jesus Christ and our union with him and our union with one another. And I thank you, Father, that churches will come alive to the true gospel, Father, and be able to share that with confidence, with boldness, Father, and that that will be a testimony to the world, how we operate and how we respond to this pandemic, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that the hope that we've got is so much greater than anything else materialistic that this world can promise us, that presidents can promise us. I thank you, Father, that our hope that we have in Jesus Christ is what we need, Father. And I thank you, Father, as we hold on to your word, your promises, we can endure, Father, we can persevere through hardships, through trials, Father, and arise above them, soar high above them. In Jesus' name, we pray that, Father. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that is leading us, guiding us, there to strengthen us. And I thank you, Father, that we can enjoy this life with you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and we pray that. Amen. So the word that I've got for us to kick 2021 off with this morning is a simple five-letter word, trust. And I want you guys to just allow God's Spirit to minister to you as we look at this amazing topic of trust. And I believe as I was preparing this word and asking God what to kick this year off with, this is really the word and the phrase and the topic and the idea that God prompted on my heart for us this morning. Because my heart's desire, and I believe God's heart's desire for us as a church, is to grow in our trust in Him, His word, and His purposes for our lives. Because ultimately, our success in this life, the joy that we experience, the fruitfulness that we experience, all of those things are determined by whether we trust in God or whether we don't trust in Him. The word trust, the definition is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, or the ability of someone or something. I'm going to share that again. The definition of the word trust is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, or ability of someone or something. And this is really something that we need to ask ourselves. And I want to ask you this morning, answer this question to yourself. Answer this. Do you trust God wholeheartedly? Do you trust God wholeheartedly? If not 100%, if you can't say you trust God wholeheartedly 100%, what percentage would you say that you trust God? And there's obviously different areas and categories of where we can trust God or have lack in trust of God. But think about that for a moment. In general, how much do you trust God with your life? Is it wholeheartedly? Is it 100%? Is it 80%, 70%? Just think about that for a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to also just reveal truth to you in what areas you might have a lack of trust in God. And He's not going to condemn you for having a lack of trust in God. As we're going to look at the word, we're going to see at the power of trusting God and how we can trust God more and what's the steps to that. Another question we have to ask ourselves in a practical sense to come to answer these types of questions to ourselves is, what determines the trust we have in God? What determines the trust we have in God or the lack of trust that we have in God? What determines those things? Let's look at our human relationships for a moment and ask the same question. What determines the trust we have in our human relationship. Now, as I was kind of researching this topic and just seeing what's the natural things that might determine trust in our human relationships, I came across an article by Women's Health magazine. It's obviously not a magazine that I subscribe to. It's just an article that I found. And they listed ten things, but seven of the things that stood out for me that I want to share with you guys this morning. And I've just paraphrased and rephrased some of them and simplified them. The first thing is vulnerability. Vulnerability establishes trust in relationships. Then time. Time establishes trust. Sacrifice, freedom, keeping to your word, being present, and love without ulterior motives. I'm going to read those seven things again. Vulnerability, time, sacrifice, freedom, keeping to your word, being present, and love without ulterior motives. Now, some of you might have already kind of connected the dots. But all of these things are things that God has demonstrated on and are continually demonstrating to us. So there's no reason that we shouldn't or aren't supposed to have full trust in God, because these are things that God continually demonstrates to us and has demonstrated to us throughout history. And if you look at his word, is continually re-emphasizing these things. God demonstrated vulnerability. He didn't take a risk calculation before he sent Jesus. He just sent Jesus and he didn't know who would receive him and who would reject him. That is vulnerability. And then obviously time. God is continually ready to spend time with us. Every day of the rest of our lives, God is ready. He's there to spend time with you. And sacrifice. Jesus was sent. He gave up everything. Jesus, the Son of God, had everything in heaven. Think about that. All the riches, all the glory, all the praise in heaven. And he left that all to be born as an infant, as a baby, not being able to take care of itself. That is super powerful. Jesus sacrificed everything. And then freedom. There's freedom in our relationship with God. Freedom before you receive Jesus, because every man has been given freedom, free will, to decide whether they receive and believe in God or not. And then even after you receive Christ, you still have freedom to choose whether you're doing life with God and doing life according to his will for you or not. And then obviously God is a God of his word. His word is constant and always the same. And then God is always present. Hebrews 13 verse 5, God encourages us and says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And then obviously ultimately love without ulterior motives. Jesus died because of love. He chose to die for you. For God so loved the world that he gave you Jesus Christ. So again, there's no reason for us really to have a lack of trust in God. The only reason is a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge in knowing who he is and knowing his nature and his character. It's the same with human relationships. If you have a lack of trust in someone else, it's most likely because you do not know that person, or you've maybe believed a lie about that person and now you do not trust them any longer. And obviously those seven other things also play a role in our trust in people or the lack thereof. But when it comes to God, he has fully proved himself faithful and continues to do so by those seven things. Now let's look at David. David was called a man after God's own heart. I trust that you guys are receiving something. I don't see a lot of live videos this morning, and there's no problem with that. Especially if you're still lying in bed and you haven't combed your hair and washed your face, then please don't switch your video on. I don't want to get a scare. But it's obviously more tricky to minister to a screen firstly and not knowing where you guys are at and what you're receiving. But I trust that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you and that you guys are receiving something this morning by the word that he's prepared for us together. So David was called a man after God's own heart. Thanks, Nikita, for the thumbs up, and Heidi Marie for the hand clap there. David was a man after God's own heart. And why is that? Because so often we remember the victory of David, defeating Goliath, the giant. But David also had some mistakes. He also made some horrendous errors in his life. One of them being committing adultery. And then also orchestrating the murder of Bathsheba's husband. So those aren't small things, but David was still called a man after God's own heart. And we have to ask the question, why is that? When we study the Word of God, it's awesome to know that there's a reason and a purpose for everything written up and recorded in God's Word. So when we look at things like David, a man after God's own heart, we have to look at the life of David and ask ourselves the question, but why is that? What is the significance of that? And one of the main reasons, and what we're talking about this morning, why David was called a man after God's own heart is because of trust. It's because of his trust in him. If you look at the word trust and you just go and do a lookup of the word in the Bible, Psalms is the place where you find the word trust coming up far more than any other place in the Bible. And there's a significance and a reason for that. David had some errors and he made some mistakes, like I shared. But ultimately, when he was at his lowest low, when he was at his highest high, he continually put his trust in God. He continually put confidence and reliance on God, God's mercy, his nature, and his character. We see this in Psalm 34, verse 8, and David writes and he says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Tasting and seeing is an experience. It's talking about an experience. I'm sure a lot of you tasted and saw a lot of good things over Christmas time, over the festive time, and over the holiday. And some of our waists have grown because we've tasted a lot more than we should have. Praise God for good food. I love my taste buds. It's a blessing from God. I enjoy tickling my taste buds with some good, nourishing food. David writes, and he's talking about an experience. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then blessed is the man that trusts in him. It boils down to trust. Do you trust in God? Have you put your trust in God? How much of your trust have you put in God? The fact of the matter is, in this life, Satan will continue to try everything in his power to prevent us from trusting in God. He'll try and prevent us from trusting in God by throwing a whole bunch of different things in front of us, inviting us to and luring us into putting our trust in anything else but in God. And it's not going to stop. It's something that is continually be faced with in this life, is whether we are putting our trust in God or whether we are putting our trust in something else. And maybe think and stop and think about this for a moment. Is there an area in your life where there's misplaced trust? Is there an area in your life where you've maybe bought into something and put your trust in something else other than God and his word? Psalm 20, verse 7-8 from the Passion Translation says this: "Some find their strength in their weapons and wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord our God, who makes us strong and gives us victory. Our enemies will not prevail. They will only collapse and perish in defeat while we rise up full of courage." Now, there's so much in here. Starting off with verse 7, their weapons and their wisdom. Where have you found your strength? Where is your strength in? What are you boasting in? Are you boasting in your abilities? Are you boasting in your degrees? Are you boasting in whatever? You fill in the blank. What are you boasting in? Weapons and wisdom is talking about physical things, carnal things, things that you can rely on. What are you relying on? What are you trusting in? Your own human abilities, your credentials? Are you trusting fully and ultimately in God? Because it is God who makes us strong and gives us victory, as the psalmist writes here. Verse 8, "Our enemies will not prevail. They will only collapse and perish in defeat while we rise up full of courage." This is super important. What the scripture, what the psalm is not saying, it's not saying we won't have enemies. It's not saying our enemies won't come and attack us and try and knock us down. But it's saying that our enemies will not prevail. They will only collapse and perish in defeat while we rise up full of courage. Rising up means that you could possibly be knocked down today. Maybe 2020 knocked you down. But praise God if you put your trust in Him, you will rise up again. You'll rise up from that that momentary defeat. Maybe you're experiencing momentary defeat, but I will encourage you, that defeat is not final. You need to hear this word. This is a word for so many of us. I know this. The defeat that you might be experiencing right now, it's not final. Jesus has overcome. We are more than overcomers through Christ. Romans 8 talks about this. We are more than overcomers. Psalm 44 verse 6 illustrates the same point. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. What are you trusting in? You have to ask yourself this question. What have you trusted in 2020? Where was your trust? Where was your reliance? Where was your confidence? Was it in your natural abilities, your human wisdom, or was it in God? Another question that I want to ask you this morning is your life bringing glory to yourself or to Jesus our hero? Is your life bringing glory to yourself, to your credentials, to your abilities, or is your life bringing glory to Jesus our hero? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. And it reads, and such trust have we through Christ to God's word, or towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now this is the Apostle Paul writing to us in Corinthians, and then in Philippians, he makes the same point, talking about where our trust and our reliance and our dependence should lie in. Philippians chapter 3, let's read verse 3 to 4, and then we'll jump down to verse 7. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. And it says, for we Christians are the true circumcision, who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. Highlight that for yourself. Exalt and glory and pride ourselves in what? Not in our human ability, not in our credentials, not in anything that you didn't attain to or work for. We have to remember this. I just want to pause here and just emphasize this point. We have to remember this. A lot of the things that we are experiencing, a lot of the blessings that we are experiencing right now, the degrees that you might have, the work opportunities that you might have right now, we have to kind of think about things and remember that a lot of who we are today, it's got very little to do with us. A lot of who you are today is thanks to a lot of other people in your life. The opportunities that you might have received in this life is thanks to a lot of other people in this life. The time that we are born in, the time that we are living in today, guess what? You had nothing to do with the time that you were born. I don't know, maybe that's a wake-up moment for some of you. The fact that you were born at the time that you were born, you had absolutely nothing to do with that. So the things that you are experiencing, the blessings, the opportunities that you have had in your life, a lot of it has got nothing to do with you. You didn't have any role or part to play in those things. Now, there are some things that we partook of and some things that we needed to yield to and that we needed to work and maybe study and put in some effort and all of those things. I'm not diminishing those things. But most of the things that you have today, the blessings and the giftings and abilities that you are reaping rewards from, is all due to God and His blessings and other people also being a blessing to you. So we exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. Though for myself, I have at least grounds to rely on the flesh. If any other man considers that he has or seems to have reason to rely on the flesh and his physical and outward advantages, I still more. So Paul is making this point that there's a lot of things that he could boast about. And then he lists some of his credentials in verse 5 and 6. But then if we jump down to verse 7, he says, but whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I've come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and considered all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win and gain Christ, the Anointed One. This is super, super powerful, super encouraging. Again, we have to ask ourselves the question, is your life bringing glory to yourself, or is your life bringing glory to Jesus Christ and what he has done for you? Paul had some awesome things, some awesome credentials that he could boast about, but he realized that there's only one thing that we can truly boast about, and that is Jesus Christ. And I pray that this year and throughout the rest of your life, that you'll grow in your confidence and your trust in God. As Paul writes to us here, and he says, of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Trust is very much dependent on knowing someone. And that is what eternal life is about. Eternal life is not just about going to heaven one day and experiencing heaven one day, but eternal life is about knowing Jesus Christ. I pray that you will, in this year and the rest of your life, come to know Jesus Christ and grow progressively in becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Because when you become more deeply acquainted with him, with his love for you, with his purposes for your life, guess what you are going to do? You're going to start counting things as loss, as rubbish. Some translations talk about as dung. That is cow manure. That is poo. So the things that you are counting as gain today, the more you come to know Jesus Christ, guess what? Before you know it, the things that you held on to, the things that you put your trust in, the things that you might rely on, those things are no longer going to be things that you trust in and rely on, because you've come to know Jesus Christ and your relationship with him and your union with him. Paul gave everything over because he fully trusted in God, because he started to get to know him. He started to have a relationship with the living God. He lived a life of significance. And guess what? You can too. You can live a life of significance. 2021 can be a significant year for you if you come to know Jesus Christ and you come to rely and trust in him. It all boils down to trust. The decision is yours. The decision is mine. I can't make the decision for you how you're going to build your year, the goals that you're going to be setting, the decisions that you're going to be making this year. I can't determine those things for you. I can't make the decisions for you. Praise God that I don't have to. You are going to live by the decisions you make on a daily basis. And because we are family and because we do life together the way we do, yes, your decisions might have consequences on me and the people around you. And we're going to maybe have to pick up some broken pieces here and there. But that is why my heart and my purpose is to equip you and to establish you in the truth of who God is, and you growing in discerning his word, growing in studying, being a student of the word of God, growing in your identity so that you can make decisions with God, so you can make decisions also submitted to God's purposes, to his plans. Because when you're doing that, there's a synergy, there's a blessedness when we come together and we do life the way God intended for us. Another psalm that we'll look at, like I said, the topic of trust is comes out throughout the Word of God, but especially by the Psalms. And it says, Psalm 9, verse 9 to 10, the Lord also will be a refuge and a high tower for the oppressed, a refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble, high cost, destitution, and desperation. And they who know your name, who have experience and acquaintance with your mercy, will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek, inquire of, and for you, on the authority of God's word and the right of their necessity. again, so much to highlight here, so much to think about and to ask ourselves, what is a refuge? What is a high tower? Is it something that moves around? One day you get a high tower there, one day you get a high tower moving from that place to another place. When castles were established and castles were built, they were refuges. They were built and they stayed at the same place. Now, the awesome symbolism and significance with that is God is always the same. He doesn't move from one place to another place. He's always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The answers to your questions, the answers to your desperation, it is Jesus Christ. It's coming to know Him. And He's always the same place He's ever been. Get to know God through His Word, because He's revealed Himself through His Word. If you want to find out the will of God, it's not mystical. It's not something to kind of go and get 100 degrees on before we can come to know it. Get to know Jesus Christ, because that is who God is. His heart, His nature, and His character has been revealed through Jesus, the Son of God. And guess what? That Jesus is living inside of you today. If you're a born-again believer, that is the mystery that's been revealed to the saints. It's Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is something that we get to celebrate every day of our lives. But what is the psalmist writing here? He says, and they who know your name. Again, it's not talking about knowing about your name. It's not talking about intellectually knowing where someone is from, what their name is, maybe what their birth date is, being a Facebook friend with someone. No, it's talking about intimacy. They who know your name, as David also wrote, Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see. I can't taste for you. I can't see for you. Tasting and seeing is something that you need to choose. It's the same with that a Christmas meal. You can have this amazing buffet in front of you, amazing fruit, food, desserts. But if you're just going to look at it, it's not going to bless you, right? It's going to make you drool. But when you start partaking, when you start putting the food in your mouth and you start smelling the food, and you're enjoying it, and you're putting the food to your taste buds, then you're going to start experiencing it. Then it becomes an experience. That is what God's desire for us is, to come to know Him, to taste and see that He is good. It says here in brackets, who have experience and acquaintance with your mercy. And then it says, they will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. This is super important. Again, it's a decision that we need to make. Those who lean on and confidently put their trust in you. What are you leaning on? Again, what are you trusting in? Where have you put your trust in? Where have you put your confidence in? If it's not in God, if you're not leaning on Him, guess what? You're not going to be able to experience the blessings of His protection, the blessings of His favor. It's there for you. It's there for you to receive. It's there for you to partake of. But you need to come to the table. You need to partake of. It's a decision. Partaking is a decision. Those who are online this morning, you are partaking. You are choosing to partake. And maybe some of you are partaking a little bit more than others. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that you are part of this meeting, you are already a partaker of the word that is being shared this morning. The people who didn't come to this meeting, who didn't decide to be part of this meeting, they're not partaking. So they're not receiving the blessed word that you are receiving this morning. They're not being encouraged by what you are being encouraged this morning. The trust that we can put in God and the blessing that we can receive from that and experience from that. They that lean on and confidently put their trust in you. Have not forsaken those who seek, inquire of you. There's a seeking to be done for us as believers, as children of God. Where are you seeking answers? Are you seeking answers in the book that says 10 Steps to a Better Marriage? Are you seeking answers in the book that says 5 Keys to Be a Millionaire? Where are you seeking your advice from? Is it in the world? Is it in the world system? Are you seeking God for your answers? Are you seeking God for wisdom? Are you coming to Him and His Word to find out what is His will for your life? What is the plans that He has for you? And again, I want to reiterate this. This isn't just a once-off decision. Salvation isn't a once-off decision. I'll get to that in a moment. Think about that for a second. Psalm 91, David writes this and he says, "And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." What are you saying of the Lord? David said, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." What are you saying of God today? What have you said of God in the last year? What you believe ultimately is going to come out of your mouth. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So ultimately, the things that you are talking about, the things that you are speaking, is what you somehow, somewhere, have come to believe. So it's very important to listen to what we are saying, to have friends and family who can encourage us, who can maybe even challenge us with the things that we say sometimes. Because if you're just going to surround yourself, and this is a word for a lot of us, because it's a new year, new opportunities, new decisions that we can make. Who are the people that you are surrounding yourself with? Is it people that never challenge you? Is it people that are only yes men and women, and they just kind of support you in every decision you're making, even if it's bad decisions, even if it's decisions that is maybe leading you away from your calling and your purposes? Are you choosing to surround yourself with people, with men and women that hear from God, that are living life on purpose, that is making a significant impact in this life, that is choosing to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven and not be people that are laying up for themselves treasures here on earth? You get to decide who you're surrounding yourself with. And when we're surrounding ourselves with people, with men and women of God, that is living by God's calling, by His purposes, by His will, we can be challenged by the decisions we're making. And it's not condemnation, it's not control, but it's coming to realize that God has called us to do this life together. God has called us to be co-laborers together, not only with Him, but with one another. And when we do that, we can sharpen one another, as Proverbs says. As iron sharpens iron, one man or one friend sharpens the countenance of another. But you get to decide who you're surrounding yourself with. Psalm 56, verse 10 to 11 says this: "In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God have I put my trust and confident reliance. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" What did you praise in 2020? The psalmist writes and he says, "In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise." What did you praise in 2020? What are you praising today? What are you going to praise in 2021? Whatever you're praising, you are putting your trust in. Whatever you are praising, you are putting your trust in. Trust is the key to experiencing God's kingdom. Trust is the key to you experiencing the fullness of God in this year and the rest of your life. Mark 10, verse 23 to 25, we see this account of a man wanting to follow Jesus and him holding on to his possessions, him not wanting to let go of what he's put his trust in. And Jesus responds to this man. And he says, "And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them," so here Jesus rephrases the statement and he says, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, like I said, and I want to make this point, trusting Jesus isn't a once-off decision. Salvation isn't a once-off decision. Now, it all depends on what is your definition of salvation. Now, if you've been with Grace Life for a while, you would know that salvation isn't just about going to heaven one day. But it's about experiencing heaven here on earth. It's about experiencing heaven in you and through you. It's about Jesus inside of you and coming to know him. John 17 verses 3. Jesus defines for us what is eternal life. That is why trusting Jesus isn't a once-off decision. Salvation isn't a once-off decision. Daily, we're going to get to make decisions in this life about what and where are we putting our trust in. Now, this young man put his trust in riches. And Jesus said, they who trust in riches cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he made this very strong statement. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the point is, you can receive Jesus Christ fully, I believe, and experience heaven one day and enter into heaven. But there's a life here to live on earth. And if you do not come to know and do not come to lean on and rely on and fully trust in God for your life, like I said, Satan is going to continually, he's never going to stop until Jesus comes back again. He's not going to stop to tempt you to try and make you rely on, trust in anything other than who God is and who you are as a child of God. So this decision to trust in God is something that we need to grow in on a daily basis. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17 to 18, also talking about finances. And it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. This is super powerful. Again, God's got nothing against riches. God's got nothing against wealth. God's got nothing against you having possessions. But there's a problem when your possessions start having you. There's a problem when you start becoming a servant of your money. When money starts to master you, when money starts to determine the decisions you are making, that means that your trust is in money, that your reliance and dependence is on money when you're making decisions based on the account or the lack of money that you have in your account, or the surplus of money that you have in your account. If money is the only thing that determines the decisions you are making in this life, there's something wrong with that picture. Because God didn't call us to make decisions based on the money that we have or the money that we don't have. Now, yes, there is wisdom. So don't get me wrong. Don't think that I'm against finances, because like I said, that's not God's heart. God isn't against finances. But you have to be open to yourself and be honest with yourself. Do you put your trust and dependence on finances, on money? Or is your trust in Jesus Christ? Timothy encouraged, or Paul encourages us, Timothy here, and he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Again, yeah, making the point that the riches that you have today, the opportunities that you've had in your life, the successes that you are enjoying today, ask yourself, how much of that is due to you alone? Or how much of that is due to other people have played a role in that? The time that you are born in this world, the opportunities that you've had. You have to ask yourself that question. Do not put your trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, 2021 might be more difficult than 2020. I'm not prophesying that, but we do not know what's going to happen in this year. But what I can guarantee you, when you put your trust in God and when you start to build this year on coming to know God more deeply, more intimately, and who he is inside of you, 2021, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the persecution that you might experience, regardless of the difficulties that you might be going through, by God's grace and by his empowering, you can succeed and soar above every trial and tribulation that you might face in this year, because that is God's heart for you. And that is God's empowering for you to soar above the circumstances when you come to put your trust, dependence, and reliance on him. Trusting God daily will be key to your success this year. Coming to know Him doesn't happen by accident, just like any other human relationship. If you've got a relationship, I'm sure all of us got some relationship with friends, with family, and just like any other human relationship, coming to know someone doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. The people that you know well today is because you've chosen to come to know them. You've chosen to spend time with them. You've chosen to work through difficulties even with them, things that you might not understand always. You've chosen not to give up on them. And it goes the same with our relationship with God. It takes time. It takes purpose. One of the purposes of my calling and of the church worldwide is to help each other grow in this area, trusting God. Now I want to invite you. Devin is going to post an online form, and we're coming to a close to the service now. Devin is going to post an online form that you can fill out. And if you're choosing to, and if you want us as a church and for us as a leadership to help you grow in your calling and coming to trust God more and more. So you can click on the link in the chat box, and that will take you to an online form that you can fill in. You'll stay anonymous. We're not going to share your information with anyone else, but I want to invite you. The life that we are living, God didn't call us to do it on our own. He's put the body of Christ to come together, to minister to one another, to grow with one another, to help one another. But as again, it's an invitation to you. I'm not forcing this on you. God isn't forcing this on you. It's a free will decision that you get to make. But praise God, when you make the decision, when you accept the invitation, you're going to have the time of your life. It's like accepting an invitation to the best wedding of all time that history will always talk about. When you accept the invitation, it's going to be memorable. It's going to be remarkable. You'll never forget taking the invitation to partake of everything that God is inviting us to partake of. Now I want to pray for us, and we're going to close in prayer. But firstly, I want to invite you, if you've never received Jesus Christ, if you've never made a decision to come to know Jesus, it starts with that, making that decision, choosing to surrender your life to God's life, choosing to yield to what Jesus has done for you, giving over, surrendering to that, deciding to believe in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. It starts with that. So I just want to pray for you. Devin is going to post a prayer to the chat box there, and that's a prayer that you can just pray from your heart. And if you choose to pray that prayer from your heart, it's not about the specific words or how you say it or how you don't say it. It's about a hard decision that you are choosing to believe in and give over to who Jesus Christ is and what He's come to do for us in this life. I want to pray for whoever's praying that prayer. Thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit. It is just ministering to us, Father, and that invitation to receive You, Father, to come into a relationship with You. It's freely available to anyone ready to receive. I want to encourage you. You don't need to clean up your act before you make a decision. You don't need to clean up yourself before Jesus, a holy God, can come and live inside of you. The fact that Jesus died for you has made you and opened up a door for you to experience and receive His holiness without you having to do anything. That is grace. You didn't deserve it. But God chose to die for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. And His Son was raised from the dead so that you can have a new life, so that you can have a new spirit and live that out in this life. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for every person and any person praying that prayer from their heart have become now new creations in You, Father, righteous and holy, and that they can start to come to know that new nature identity and start living that out. Thank You, Father. As we're closing this time together, I just want to invite you, if you're joining us this morning and this is a word that has spoken to your heart, and I believe that it is, but if you're choosing that there's definitely areas in your life that you can identify where you've maybe come to rely on and trust on other things than God, His word, and His promises, I want to invite you to just choose to make a decision right now. Don't say, I'll make this decision tomorrow, or I'll start on Monday, or I'll start next week, or I'll start in February. I encourage you, today is the best day. Today is the day that you can experience the fullness of God in your life, but it takes you making a decision. If you want to make that decision, I want to just pray for you right now, wherever you are sitting. Thank you, Father, for open hearts, individuals who are just opening up their hearts right now. Father, you know who those people are. I don't need to know who they are. I thank you, Father, as they're opening up their hearts and they just humbly coming before you, saying, in this area, Father, I've neglected to make you Lord over this area, or in this area, I've neglected to put my trust and dependence on you. I thank you, Father, as hearts are open and coming to you with humility, that by your Spirit, you are lifting them up, Father. You are cheering them on. Because I thank you, Father, by your word and by your promises, you say that the humble will be exalted and more grace will be given. So I spray that over those individuals, Father, whose hearts are open and humble before you this morning, saying, Father, in this area I've neglected and I want to fully and ultimately rely on and trust in you with my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love and for your peace, and that we can do this life with you. We're not alone. We're doing this life with you, and we're doing this life with one another. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.